Luke chapter 5, we're going to look at the first 11 verses this morning. Luke 5, 1 through 11, follow along as I read. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. The text this morning, we read about some fellows that went out on a fishing trip. A fishing trip that they really would have liked to have forgot about. I will tell you this morning, I am not a fisherman. I do not fish. I leave the fish alone and they leave me alone. I don't eat fish. I don't like fish. They can stay down there, and I'm going to stay up here. That's why I proclaim swimming in a swimming pool is much better than the ocean, because you can see what's in that pool. But anyways, these men had gone, and they had been fishing. They couldn't talk about the one who got away, because there was none that had gotten away. They didn't catch anything. Jesus showed up, and he took them on a fishing trip to remember. I've titled this topical teaching this morning, "Let Down Your Nets." Let down your nets. You see, today I want to point out just a few elements from this passage that speak to us, the church. You see, that's what we're going to talk about. God has a word to say to us this morning. Just as he did for those fishermen that he spoke of right there in that passage, he wants to take us on that fishing trip also this morning. Not those kind where we throw in a bunch of worms. Not that kind where we sit in a boat and get eaten up by mosquitoes. We come back empty-handed. You see, no, Jesus wants to take us on a fishing trip this morning that we'll remember. There's three elements in these 11 verses that we read that we're going to look at this morning. The first element is this. I want you to consider the vessel that they used. You see, we see that in verses 1 through 3. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put it out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Isn't it interesting, just as in Mark chapter 4 that we taught about just a few weeks ago, the parable of the soils, Jesus got into a boat and sat on the water to teach, to use the water to amplify his voice. You see, he does the same thing here in this scripture. The boat, well, you see, it was a place of intimacy. The boat was a place of intimacy. Think about that night of fishing. Up until then, you see, Peter's boat had been that place of toil, had been that place of labor, and actually frustration because they had caught nothing that day. But it was a vessel that they used to make a living. Well, when Jesus climbed on board, you see, that boat, Simon Peter's boat, became a place of personal closeness, of intimacy. and fellowship. It was a place where all who were on board, you see, could come close to Jesus at that time. And that's exactly what our church is, you see. That's what this church ought to be. This building, when we drive by it when it's empty, is just a bunch of brick and mortar. I have people tell me all the time, the church is such a beautiful place. And it is. It's a wonderful place. This chapel is over 100 years old, and it's a wonderful place. It's a wonderful place to come in and look at. But you see, other than that, it's just an empty building. But you see, when this building is occupied by those who know the Lord, this structure that we're in this morning becomes that place of closeness. It becomes that place of closeness, a place of intimacy, a place of fellowship with Jesus. I think that's why we encourage you after the service is to stop and go back and have a cup of coffee and a donut for that time of fellowship. Because it's so important that we have that. It's so important that we have a time of lunch once a month in the fellowship hall, a time of fellowship. You see, there isn't much about this place other than the beauty of it when it's empty. But you see, when believers come in, it becomes that precious place that we're in this morning. It becomes a place so special that we gather in. Think about this. Think about what Matthew 18:20 says. It's special because of who shows up here. You see, the Redeemer is here. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together as my followers, I am there among them." You see, the Redeemer is here this morning. The Holy Spirit is here this morning. Jesus is with us this morning. We had a wonderful time of worship. Every song that was sung this morning brought us into that time of fellowship with Jesus this morning. 1 John 3:1-2 says, "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that when we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." You see, Jesus is here with us this morning. The Holy Spirit is here with us this morning. This place has been covered with prayer since we walked in this morning at around 9 o'clock. The boat was a place of intimacy. It was special because of what they did there. But you see, this church is special because of what we do here. We teach, we sing, we worship, we fellowship, we grow in Jesus. We look at the Word. I love Psalm 119, and I use it a lot. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path." You see, that's why we use the Word here. That's why we teach book by book, verse by book, chapter by chapter. It's special because of what we find here. We find that there's food for our souls here. There's freedom from setbacks that we may have encouraged this week, the things that we've came upon this week. Oh, we have all those things in our lives. We have fellowship with other believers. It's special because of what we find here. You see, thank you, Jesus, for this church. It's the oasis. I hope it's the oasis in the desert of this world. Oh, I hope that when you come in, you're greeted with a warm handshake or a hug. That you're greeted, that you're glad you're here. You see, it's that oasis in the desert of this world. It's the light in darkness. It's a place of refuge, a place of revival in our hearts. You see, it's a place of hope and help. That's what the church is. Support the church, pray for the church, defend the church. You see, it's a place of intimacy. But you see, the boat was also a place of instruction. You see, Jesus turned that little tiny vessel into a pulpit, just like he had done in the parable of the soils. He got into a boat and he used the boat as a pulpit. He preached the word of God. You see, all those that were within the hearing of that, they would have been given the privilege of hearing Jesus teach, having Jesus instruct them. They had that learning atmosphere there. Oh, I hope that's why we come in here. We want that learning atmosphere. We encourage you to take notes on the papers that are provided. Take notes and look back and listen and see what we've learned and put those things to action. That's why we encourage you, if you've missed a teaching, to go online and listen to some of the past teachings. See, when we come to this place, we want to find that it's an instruction for our souls. The Word of God should be paramount. Instruction in righteousness should be our goal, our commitment. Biblical teaching should be the cornerstone of every church, and it is at this church. We're in the Word every time we meet. Every time we meet. And maybe you wonder, why do we preach book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse? So we don't miss anything. Oh, we don't do that cafeteria style preaching where I'm going to have some of that over there in that scripture, and I'll take some of that over there, but that scripture over there, I don't like that scripture so much, so I'm going to leave that alone. See, we don't do that. We teach right through the Bible, and that's why we do it. Teaching is about getting into the Word, looking at the truth that's contained in it, declaring the whole counsel of God. Chuck Smith said, simply teaching the Bible simply. I love that. Simply teaching the Bible simply. 2 Timothy 4:2 says it this way, preach the Word of God, be prepared. I love that. Preach the word of God. Be prepared. Whether the time is favorable or not, patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. I love those first seven words. It says, preach the word of God. Be prepared. Are you prepared to teach the word of God this week? Oh, I don't mean get up in front of a group of people and teach. I'm saying, are you prepared to share this week with someone? Someone that the Lord puts across your path, are you ready and prepared to serve? The scriptures say we are to preach the word of God, be prepared. Are you ready? Are you ready? The church is a place of instruction. That's why we come to the service with a Bible or a tablet or some sort of electronic device. We take notes. We're ready to listen. We're clean in our heart. We come in ready to worship. That's why when we come in on a Sunday morning, we encourage the sanctuary to be quiet because we want to prepare our hearts. Listen to the background music. Prepare our hearts and make us ready for worship. That makes us ready for the Word. Did you prepare this morning? Did you prepare? Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for the Word? You see, the boat was a place of instruction. The church is a place of instruction. But you see, the boat was also a place of irritation. Yes, it was a place of irritation. Verse number 5 says, but Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. Peter is obviously irritated. Jesus, we've worked all night. We're tired. We want to go home. We want to go and sleep. Put your nets down. You see, the fishermen were tired. They were frustrated. They were defeated. They had done everything that they knew how to do in the power that they were successful fishermen to be successful, but they had failed. You see, verse number 2 tells us that the fishermen weren't even in their boats now at this time. Where were they? They were up on the shore washing their nets out. They weren't engaged in any good work. They were just in busy work. They weren't accomplishing anything right at that time other than washing their nets. They weren't catching fish. You see, that boat that they had been in all night was a place of irritation. Do you ever get frustrated? Do you ever get frustrated? Do you get tired? We come here week after week. Service after service, we pray, we preach, we testify, then we go home. We're busy. Sometimes it seems like something's missing. What could it be? What could be missing when we do all that? We're not catching fish. We're not catching any fish. Oh, you see, Peter and these other men who were with him, they knew how to fish. They were professionals. They had struck out that night. They had nothing to show. But you see, we have the right bait. We have the right tackle. Not that I know much about bait and tackle, but I do know that we have the Word of God. How many have asked people to come to church and they just don't show up? It's frustrating. It's frustrating. But we need to stay true to the Lord. Keep asking. Keep proclaiming. Keep giving out the Word. Are you prepared this morning for this week that's coming up? 2 Timothy, preach the Word of God. Be prepared. Are you prepared? Are you prepared? It was a place of irritation. Number one, consider the vessel. Number two, in verses 4 and 5, consider the voyage. Oh, consider the voyage this morning. It said, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word will I let down the net. You see, there was a command. Jesus issues a twofold command to Peter. He also issues a twofold command to the men in the boat. He says to launch out and let down. Launch out and let down. A couple thoughts about those two commands. There was nothing wrong with the vessel. The vessel had been seaworthy. They had been out in it all night. They had been fishing. Jesus ordered them to go out into deeper water. Jesus ordered them to go out into the deeper water. The vessel needed to go where the fish were that morning, but they were there. Jesus knew where the fish were. You see, Jesus calls us to launch out. Jesus calls us to launch out and cast out our nets. 5 or 6 years ago, I can't remember now how long it's been, my wife and I were at Calvary Fort Lauderdale. We were sitting in row number 7, seats number 1 and 2, every Sunday morning at 8:30. Those were our seats. Don't you dare sit in our seats. Sometimes we had to move because somebody got there earlier than we did. How dare they sit in our seats? We were comfortable. Oh, we had gotten involved in convalescent ministry. We were serving. We were comfortable. And then I met Pastor's brother on a sales call, and he said, hey, we're looking for a worship team. I said to my buddy, hey, we want to lead worship. And we came and we led worship. But you see, I didn't leave Calvary Chapel Fort Lauderdale at that time. We were still double dipping. We were over there first service and then came here, first service and then came here. We did that for a while. And then something happened here at the church, and I'm not going to tell you what it was, but something happened here at the church. And I saw that Pastor Ken needed somebody to help, just to come along beside him. And God spoke to me. He said, Ron, quit your double dipping and get to work. And we left. And we came here full time. See, he called us to launch out and cast our nets, and if we hadn't listened to that, we would have missed so many blessings. We would have missed blessings upon blessings upon blessings. But we had to listen. We had to do what Jesus told us to do, was to leave what you're doing and cast out and get out of your comfort zone and do what you're called to do. And that's what we did. That command is launch out and let down your nets. You see, the vessel needed to go where the fish were. Jesus knew that the fish weren't where they were. If the men expected to catch any fish, they had to go out to where the fish were swimming. During the heat of the day, I guess fish don't want to be caught. I don't know. Again, I'm not a fisherman. I'm telling you that right up front. I know nothing about fishing other than I don't like them. The fish weren't in the shallow water at that time. They weren't in the boat. They were out in the deep. You see, we have to pray. We have to seek God and go where he calls us to go. Has he called you to do something that you haven't listened to his call yet? Consider the voyage. Mark 16:15 says this, and then he told them, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. You see, that main word in that verse is the word go. It's an action. We have to go. Go into all the world. Teach the gospel. Are you prepared this week to preach the gospel? Are you prepared? I hope so. I hope you're prepared. You see, a net won't fill up until it's let down into the water. Now, even as a non-fisherman, I know that. I know you can't hold the bait up above the water and expect the fish to come get it. I know that. I don't know a lot, but I do know that. You see, these fellows have washed their nets. They've mended the nets. They've hauled these nets all over the lake. You see, they could have gone on Amazon and bought new nets. They could have gone on Amazon Prime and had new nets in 2 days. They could have done that, but they didn't need new nets. You see, they could have found the newest ways of casting. They could have gone on YouTube and watched the YouTube to see how to cast the nets out. They didn't do that. Oh, you see, they could have gone to seminars and they could have learned the best new techniques for fishing. They didn't do that. You see, they needed to go and do what Jesus told them to do. That's what we need to do. We need to go and do what Jesus tells us to do. To preach the word, to be prepared, to invite others to our church, to invite others to hear the word, to invite others to listen to a radio station that plays Christian music every day and Christian teaching every day. You see, Jesus knows where the fish is. He sends us where they are. Isn't that cool? If you get up tomorrow morning and you say, Jesus, lead someone across my path this morning that needs to know about Jesus, I'll almost guarantee you that he'll do it. And if he doesn't, you're probably not looking hard enough. Are you looking for those folks that you can just say, hey, I'd like to invite you to church. Hey, how are you doing? A neighbor, how are you doing this morning? Oh, you're not doing good. Can I pray for you right here? Are you doing that? Are you prepared to preach the word? You see, our plans, our programs, our efforts, they're all useless unless they're designed and directed by Jesus. You see, that's one thing that has always impressed me about Pastor Ken. Is it's okay to think outside the box. But don't think outside the Bible. Think outside the box, but don't think outside the Bible. He's a man of constant prayer for this church and the direction that we go. You see, that's what it's all about. When Jesus puts those things in our path, we're praying to him, we're asking him to lead us, to guide us, to direct us, to show us those folks that need to hear about Jesus. When Peter hears the Lord's command, he reminds Jesus, oh, that we fished all night and and caught nothing. Jesus knew that. Nighttime was the best time for fishing. Fish were near the surface. They were looking for food, apparently. They were easily located, easily caught. Those men, they had worked so hard. They had heavy nets. That word in verse number 5, it says they toiled. And that word toiled means to labor with wearisome effort. They were tired. They wanted to go home and rest. All night they had let down. Pulled in nets over and over, taking in nothing. Not even a single one. Not even a little minnow, a sardine. Nothing. They had caught zero. They wasted the whole night. They wanted to go home. Get some sleep. Forget about that long night. And here's Peter saying, Lord, we've already tried that. It didn't work. Lord, come on. We're professionals. We're professional fishermen. We know what we're doing. Leave the fishing to us. We've already tried it. It didn't work. There's no use going out there again. But Peter sounded skeptical. But you see, Peter did what he was told to do. He went out. He went out. But you see, we can't do that without Jesus as part of it. John 15:5 says this, yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. I hope you caught that this morning, because if we are connected to Jesus through the vine, we can do all that he's asking us to do. But if we're apart from that vine, you see, we're useless. Useless. Consider the vessel, we did that. Consider the voyage, we've done that. Now, as we close, consider the victory. Oh, consider the victory that we see in verses 6 through 11. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come, help them. And they came and filled both the boats. So they began to sink. Imagine if they had so many fish in the boat that the boats were starting to sink. When Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all those who were with him were astonished. That word astonished is an interesting word. It means rendered immovable. They were so taken back, they couldn't move. They couldn't believe what they saw. Can you imagine? Their eyes must have been wide open. Jesus, we've done this all night and not one, and now we've got boats that are still full. They're sinking. They were rendered immovable at the catch of fish which they have taken. And so also were James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were their partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. In spite of being tired, defeated, frustrated, filled with doubt, what did they do? Well, Peter obeyed the command of Jesus. Because he did, he got to see those miracles that happened. He would have missed those miracles if he hadn't have done what Jesus told him to do. As Jesus told us to leave Calvary Fort Lauderdale and come here, we would have missed out on so much. We had to listen to Jesus. We had to do and obey his call. There's in these verses that we just read in 6 through 11, there's three miracles. Number one miracle is a miracle involving the fish. You see, when Peter and the other men, they obeyed Jesus, they caught so many fish that their nets threatened to break. The boat was sinking. They were fishing in the wrong place beforehand. Now they experienced the outstanding, extraordinary success. It didn't make any sense. But there was no denying the results that they saw. When Jesus says to us, launch out into the deep and let down your nets, some are going to say, hey, we've tried that before. It didn't work. It didn't work. If Jesus is calling you and saying, cast out your net, be prepared. Be ready to do what Jesus is asking you to do. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets. let down your nets. A miracle involving the fish. And then there was a miracle involving the fishermen. You see, when Peter and the others saw what Jesus has done, the fishermen fell at the feet of Jesus in worship, humble worship. They were amazed at the power that he had. They were glorified for what he had done for them. Oh, if you want to see this church filled with excitement, then launch out your net. Launch out your net into the deep. Invite others to come and experience worship and teaching here. Launch out. Share the gospel message wherever you go. Maybe you need to pick up a little Hope For You card. We make these available. It's just a little tiny website that has the gospel message in about 10 minutes. Somebody can go on that and hear the gospel message. Maybe you say, oh, I just don't know how to present the gospel. There's a little tool you can use. Leave it for a server, a waiter, a waitress. Put it in with your check. You never know. You never know how the Lord is going to water those seeds that you throw out there. Again, I'll share with you about Larry at Convalescent. Larry was 99 years old. Seeds had been planted on that man for weeks and weeks and weeks to accept Jesus, and he wouldn't do it. And finally, on one Saturday, when I said, Larry, are you ready to accept? And he said, yes, I am. I'm ready to accept. He prayed and accepted Jesus. 2 months later, he turned 100 years old, and a couple of weeks later, he's in heaven. I didn't do anything. I did nothing. But there were seeds that were planted. You just don't know. Cast your nets out. Cast your nets out into the deep. You see, and the third miracle was a miracle involving the future. Jesus says, Peter, man, you haven't seen anything yet. You think this was something? You think this little miracle that you just saw was amazing? Just wait. Just wait until you see the souls getting caught in the gospel net. Just wait. You see, the scripture tells us that these men left their business. They left their nets and their boats, and they followed Jesus immediately. Think about Peter, who bowed at Jesus' feet. Think about when he stood at Jerusalem on Pentecost, and he preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. Can you imagine that? Here's Peter, who saw his boat filling up with fish just a few months earlier, 3 years later, and now he's out there teaching at Pentecost, and 3,000 people come to know Jesus. One of my favorite stories in the Bible is in Acts chapter 8. It's Philip and the eunuch. Philip is a successful teacher. He has an amazing ministry going on, but Jesus says, no, I want you to go here. I want you to go out to the desert. I want you to meet this one man. And he led that man to the Lord, that Ethiopian eunuch. And Ethiopia was gospelized through that. If Philip hadn't gone and cast his net like he was told, well, you can finish that sentence. Right now the net is in our vessel. But Jesus is telling us to go out into the deep water, to cast on our nets. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Are you prepared to teach this morning? Are you prepared to teach this week? Are you prepared for that person that Jesus is going to lead across your path this week? Are you prepared to pray tomorrow morning for that person that Jesus will lead across your path? Are you prepared as you go into Publix or Walmart or Target or wherever it is to have that smiling face when that person gets in the express line with a basket full of stuff and you're behind them. Are you prepared to have that smiling face? It's hard for me because it happens to me every time. I never can figure that out. Every time. There's one express lane open every time. And I always get behind that one person that has a basket full. Can't you count? I know Jesus has a sense of humor because he does it to me all the time. He's trying to help me cast my nets out into deeper water. Where are you this morning? Are your nets in your boat? Are your nets prepared? Are you ready to go out and cast the nets this week? Oh, I hope you are. I hope you are. I hope you're ready to launch out into the deep. I hope you're ready to let your nets down. Because if you are, you'll have a fishing trip worthy of remembering.